And we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid conservative and just plain right. Covering down some major ground across the northern half of the most beautiful state in the nation. That'd be this one. That'd be, oh yeah, Alabama. And I'm talking about this show sends its signal like way on down south of Birmingham and up north of Huntsville, Tuscaloosa, back over to Gadsden, parts of Georgia, Tennessee, Mississippi, thrown in just for good measure. Speaking of all those places, a bunch of those places are now inside of new congressional district lines. I'm looking at a copy of the map right now, and it is vastly different than what it was a couple weeks ago. I mean, on the one hand, I will say this. It looks more, I don't know how to say this, the lines look geographically more contiguous. You have very few split counties, which was a problem in the past. These are all congressional district lines. So basically, if you were in, okay, like me, Boomer and I have lived now in Congressional District 4. Boom, I'd say all your life. Maybe all my, I don't know if Etowah's always been in 4, but it's been that way for a long, long time. And now, all of a sudden, we are in CD3. In fact, almost my entire former state senate district was in 4, and now almost my entire former state senate district is in 3. So, yeah, I used to represent St. Clair, Etowah, and Cherokee counties in a little small portion of DeKalb. And DeKalb's still in 4. But anyway, what I'm saying is this. The lines have changed. And it's just, you know, there's no, by the way, this was going to be a no-win situation. Ain't no way in the world there was going to be a kumbaya moment last week where the Democrats would go, oh, this is good. We like this. This is happy. They don't want a majority black district. They want a majority Democrat district. That's what they want. I don't think for a second that they really care whether or not there's going to be a majority African American district. I think the bulk of what they want is they want to mitigate Republican, you know, majorities. Period. Now, when you read some of the rhetoric, it's about racism, but no, you can see right through it. And I'll tell you part of the reason why, and I say this as a prelude to the rest of the comments, part of the reason why they are so, you know, vociferous about this is because they want to take back the majority, obviously. But secondly, they're also operating under an assumption here. They are operating under the assumption that if you're black, you vote Democrat. Now, do we know for a fact that the majority of black voters tend to lean Democrat? Yes, it's a societal thing that I think has got to change. But it is changing. That's the thing. More and more we're seeing that voters are voting their conscience and not their party. More and more we're seeing also that people that are sick and tired of being taken advantage of and treated like second-rate citizens and truthfully kept down by the racism of low expectations, meaning the black community, by their own, you know, by the Democrat Party's efforts, are realizing that the party of the free market and of meritocracy and of, you know, higher expectations and lower taxes and, you know, the rejuvenating of the economy, that's typically not the left, all right? And so this is one of those things where, you know, be careful what you wish for. Because here you are thinking, well, if we tell them we need a majority black district, then we'll get more Democrats. Anyway, so the bottom line is, I'm looking right now, and I got a series of articles on this one. Grayson Everett from Yellowhammer wrote this first piece, which is just a summary piece. Alabama will have new congressional districts. Well, there you go. Following a joint conference committee of the House and Senate. Now, one of the pieces of intrigue for this, is this for me, is that the House, 105 members of the House, had a different map than what was drawn. The Senate, after the House had passed their map, the Senate dropped their map in, and it was different. And it was much like what we're looking at as the final result. I'd love to have been a fly on the wall. I've been in those meetings before, so I can imagine it. But I'd love to have been a fly on the wall for the backroom discussions of, what were you doing dropping that map? Why'd you do that? And then at the same time, the House backed off. Odd. Very odd. But yeah, there was a court-set deadline. We had to be done by Friday. The governor, for reasons known only to her and maybe to some leadership in the House and Senate, the governor chose to give them the minimum amount of time possible and push them right up against the deadline, but they did it. She called them in. They spent all last week haggling, going back and forth, fussing, and we now have new maps. So here's the thing. What's interesting is this. So we have long had in Alabama one Democrat in our U.S. delegation. It's been that way for several decades. I mean, gone are the days when the yellow dog Democrats ran Alabama. But the U.S. delegation has had one Democrat, U.S. Representative Terry Sewell, from District 7. District 7 is down yonder in what is often referred to as the Black Belt. And you've got everything from parts of Jefferson County going down through Perry and Marengo and Dallas County and Wilcox County and all that area, kind of down around sort of west central Alabama. So under that plan, she now has a district that used to be 57% majority black. It is now 50.6% majority black. So she may be, I don't know. We'll see. Then there's U.S. Representative Barry Moore, who's been on the show multiple times. He's got Congressional District 5. That's down in the Wiregrass. That's down around Dothan and that area, down in the far southeastern corner of the state. So his district used to be, I've forgotten what it was now, but the bottom line is now it's 39.99% black. So they didn't draw. They didn't go draw something that says, okay, which is what the Democrats are saying. You've got to draw two majority black districts. No, we don't. That is not what we read in the law. That is not what the court said. Well, Democrats are having a fit because they're saying that all we did was just belligerently blow off the court's order. And we're saying, no, all we did is just belligerently do what the court said to do, which is not just provide two absolutely majority black districts. We provided two districts in which the black community has an equal opportunity to have a voice in who becomes the next congressman. It's an opportunity, not a given. I mean, nothing's a given in politics. Truthfully, I can tell you for a fact, nothing's a given in politics. But here's the thing. We have more than 100 plans that were reviewed, apparently, the map plans. And they came up with what they came up with. And now it is what it is. Oh, I hate that phrase. Did I just say that? Boomer.
Oh, my eyes just glared at you because you said the phrase you hate the most.
I feel like I need a shower now. Yeah, just so point of personal privilege here, I hate the phrase, it is what it is, and it just came out of my mouth. The maps are in place now because they are.
They're there.
You talk for a minute. I got to recover from
what
just
happened. They are there. No, they are changing no more as of right now.
You get on that button over there and mute me out next time I start to talk like that.
I'll push it.
Yeah. What just happened? Hit the 8-second. We do have special buttons in here that prevent things from happening, hopefully, prevent us from getting fined. So, story on Alabama Daily News. State Representative Chris England, former chair of the Alabama Democrat Party, by the way, and he's, by the way, he's an African-American himself. He's accusing Republicans in the story on Alabama Daily News of repeating history and flouting judicial mandates to create a second majority black district. That's not what the court said, dude. Courts have always had to come in and save us from ourselves, says England, a black lawmaker from Tuscaloosa. The fight over whether Alabama's congressional map complies with the Voting Rights Act of 1965 now shifts back to the federal court, as state Republicans are now submitting their plan. The outcome, though, here's the thing. This article points out quite well. The outcome of this case, well, it could have ripple effects across the entire nation, y'all. Once again, Alabama in the forefront of laying something out there, telling the world, here's what we got, and the world's going to make a decision, but it's going to impact a lot of people. But the rhetoric on this thing, I mean, wow. The rhetoric is really something. So one of the, Chris England again. He says, the Alabama legislature believes it's above the law. What we're dealing with is these are the plaintiffs in the case that sued on the thing originally. What we're dealing with is a group of lawmakers who are blatantly disregarding not just the Voting Rights Act, but a decision from the U.S. See, that's just it. They constantly misrepresent what the court said. Understand this. When you're looking at the redrawing, why does this matter, by the way? Some of you may be going, I don't get it. Why does this matter? It matters. First of all, it matters because we're being told by the federal courts that we're racist. But we're also being told that we have to use more race in drawing our lines. What? Well, which is it? And then secondly, you have to look at influence and working relationships. Like, for instance, Etowah County is now no longer in the middle of the 4th Congressional District. We used to be the most populous county in the 4th Congressional District. And now the congressman who has worked with us on bridge projects and on bringing jobs to the area and on resolving constituent issues and coming to our ribbon cuttings and, you know, everybody knows his name because he comes and gives a speech to the schools and all these things over the years, all this stuff. Now we got to turn around and go, hello, Congressman Rogers, who does a good job, but it's like starting from scratch on some projects. And then you also got to hope that whereas Adderholt might have been leaning in hard on something because we were his biggest county, are we going to get that same type of result from, you know, Congressman Rogers? You just got to hope. So everything changes. The dynamic of what all the local officials have been working with suddenly changes. If you were in the middle of something, you got to change the names. That's frustrating. And then on top of that, there's the whole notion that we as a state are going to have the federal government tell us once again what to do. So our Attorney General Steve Marshall is on this, and I'll give you this quote before I go to break. He says, Marshall said, the plaintiffs in that case now demand a plan that provides not a fair chance to compete, but instead a guarantee of Democrat victories in at least two districts. That's where we are. They don't, in my opinion, the Democrats, they don't want a stronger black district. They don't want the ability to say that black citizens in Alabama have been given a bigger voice. They just want more Democrats. And so I feel certain that we're going to be back in court. We know that for a fact in a few weeks. In a minute, we'll talk about things that are being said about that, though. And some of the rhetoric, my gosh, what's Nancy Pelosi doing talking about us? Go clean up San Francisco, Nancy. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. We'll be right back. Back, Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid conservative, just plain right, making common sense a superpower. All right.
Hey, before you start back up again,
what?
I had to interrupt. I just wanted to let you know that you just lost 10 points from John for saying that evil phrase.
Oh.
However, you got 2 hours to earn extra credit points.
What do I got to do? Got to sing a new song? What do I got to do?
Just needed you to know.
I'm sorry, John, it won't ever happen again. I hate that phrase. I can't believe it didn't came out of my mouth. Like, it's like...
You caught it right after you said it.
I mean, that is second only to, like, cussing in front of kids. I mean, what... It's just the whole thing's just wrong. Okay. Anyway, I repent. All right. Hey, by the way, I'm in number one of the Triple Dipper coming up in a few minutes. Scott Buttram, publisher of the Trustful Tribune, will call in and offer his two cents on what we're talking about. But I'm talking about the congressional border wars because we are in the thick of it, y'all. Story on AL.com right here says that Democrats hope the federal court will do what GOP lawmakers did not. The implication always from AL.com is that racism is certainly at play. Certainly. They even quote Representative A.J. McCampbell, a black Democrat from Livingston, Alabama. He says, we have failed the people that sent us down here to do their business. Unfortunately, the federal courts will have to stand, have had to stand and make Alabama do the right thing. Okay, see, that's all a matter of interpretation on you there, Representative. But Chris England, in one of the, you know, most obnoxious pieces of rhetoric, Chris England, state representative, former chair of the Alabama Democrat Party, he says, House Speaker Kevin McCarthy ought to chip in and help pay Alabama's legal fees if the maps were drawn this way at his urging, only because apparently he called and spoke to one of the Republicans and said, sure hopes in the end we wind up keeping the Republican majority in D.C., not in Alabama. And so England was responding saying, you know, the very idea that that we have Kevin McCarthy calling and saying something, was how about all the things that Democrats have said? And yet, oh, he needs to pay our legal fees. No, he doesn't. Shut up. How about this one? Nancy Pelosi. Nancy Pelosi calls the new congressional map ridiculous. Story here on Yellowhammer, written by our buddy Yaffe. Former Speaker of the House of Representatives is blasting Alabama's new congressional map for not having two majority black districts, which, again, is not what the court required. I mean, did they get enough of a transfer of population or demographics? We don't know, because it was ambiguous. But we were told majority black or something that reasonably gives the opportunity for black citizens to have a strong say in who becomes their next congressman. That's the paraphrase of what it basically said. The legislature knows our state, Governor Ivey said. Our people in our districts better than the federal courts or activist groups, and I'm pleased they answered the call. So she's talking it up. Then Nancy Pelosi went on CNN over the weekend. Whoop, whoop. Says it's ridiculous. Wait, let me find my Nancy. It's ridiculous. I'm doing the Nancy Pelosi voice. This is so completely ridiculous. As you know, she says, I have a great deal of respect for Eric Holder, the head of the National Democrat Redistricting Committee. He's not partisan. Is she talking about the same Eric Holder that worked for Obama? He's not partisan? Is that what she just said? I mean, she lost her credibility again at that point. Anyway, Pelosi went on to say that what they did to Terry Sewell's district, is this wrong? Our member of Congress, they took her out of Selma. They took her out of Montgomery. She's an iconic figure there. And, of course, John Lewis and Martin Luther King Jr. What did John Lewis and Martin Luther King Jr. have to do with the congressional district lines? Nothing, except that it gives her the chance to say that this is all racist. Well, of course they went to that. That's the go-to. Then we have Eric Holder himself, who chimes in and says, it's sad to see what's happening in Alabama. You know the Supreme Court, this is a very conservative Supreme Court, said you needed to create two black majority Democratic. It did not say that, former Mr. Attorney General, who's not partisan, surely. Listen, here's the deal. Here's what some people are saying is happening. Here's the bottom line. The sentiment that I'm hearing out there is that Republicans drew the districts as best they could, but that they were also rolling the dice. Because what they're saying is, if the court redraws the map or does not allow what we did, that we'll appeal it and we'll try and get it before the Supreme Court again. And the Supreme Court then will have a second bite of the apple to try and decide whether or not we can even get the whole thing overturned. There's some belief that Justice Kavanaugh may not have been entirely on board with the way they wound up voting before, and that if they can sway him, that they'll wind up changing things in such a way that doesn't just mean the Voting Rights Act prohibitions in Alabama get lifted, but that possibly, it might also mean that it implicates things for other states like Louisiana and Texas, which have ongoing congressional border wars themselves. So we will see, y'all. We'll see. It's a roll of the dice, because once you go down this road, you have no guarantee that SCOTUS, the Supreme Court, is even going to take it up. We may want, here's the things that could happen. It may go to the automatic review process that we know is going to happen on August 15th. They might approve it. If they do, we live with it. If we do, we live with it, and we'll see what happens. And we'll see whether we can have 7 Republicans next time or whether we're going to have 5-2. Or it could go to the 11th Circuit in a couple weeks and be denied and a special master appointed that have to redraw it for us, at which point we appeal and we try to get to SCOTUS and we get a chance to re-argue the whole case. Or it could go to SCOTUS and they deny the opportunity to redraw it, and then we'll just see what happens, y'all. Either way, it's congressional border wars. Coming up next, our buddy Scott Buttram calling in. We'll see what his thoughts are on it. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. We'll be right back. We'll be right back. Hey, all you rights.